إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise due to Allah. We praise Him abundantly. We ask Allah's assistance and we seek Allah's forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our worship except Allah, alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and His blessings upon him, his companions, and anyone who follows them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, first and foremost, I would like to give you the glad tidings for being given the opportunity to attend this particular class. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this bounty. This is means of strengthening our brotherhood for the brothers and the sisterhood for the sisters. Furthermore, these particular gatherings, as it was mentioned in the authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherever Allah is being remembered, the angels will encompass the place and tranquility will be sent down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention those among the angels that are close to Him. And this is a bounty. Furthermore, this is about knowledge. And what do we know about knowledge? Ilm. What do we know about ilm? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about ilm? What does the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about ilm? This is the most virtuous thing in the world. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that is sahih, إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ لَمْ يُرِثُوا دِرْهَمًا وَلَا دِينَارًا إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ فَقَدْ أَخَذَ بِحَقٍ وَافِرٍ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said the prophets did not leave behind any wealth, money, currency. Dirham and dinar was back then. Today, riyal, dollars, pounds, whatever. They did not leave behind any money, castles that you live in. Say this is the castle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or this is the castle of Musa, or this is the castle of David. They didn't leave any wealth. What they left behind was knowledge. Knowledge. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever takes that knowledge has indeed taken a lot of goodness. A lot of goodness. That's why he said another hadith of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. Whomever Allah intends goodness for, He will give him understanding of the deen. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought myself and brought you in this particular location is an intent, inshaAllah. We have good assumption that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends goodness for us. Intends goodness for us because this is an opportunity to have knowledge, to understand the deen. We've been Muslims, many of you have been Muslims for mashallah 40 years, 50 years, 60 years for those who are older. And some of you are reverts to Islam, some of you were not practicing, that Allah guided you at some point in your life. You know, each one here has his own personal story. But the one thing that we all have in common is that we need knowledge to make it to Jannah. And seeking knowledge is one of the means and the ways that will take you to Jannah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whomever takes a path seeking knowledge, you just make an attempt. You don't walk down the street. Not even. You come to the salah anyways, you stay after the salah. You don't have to do anything. Some of you are coming from far. Some of you just live right there. Nonetheless, the fact that you have taken some effort to seek knowledge, Allah will facilitate the path to paradise for you. Jannah will become near. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah makes this question, He poses this question in the Quran. Say, are they equal, those who know and those who do not know? They're not. Even in the world, if you have a cell phone, oh, which reminds me, everyone put your cell phones on vibrate. Huh? If you don't have your phones on vibrate, put it on vibrate. If you have a cell phone and you don't know how to use it, it goes off and, you know, during the salah, and you have some silly ringtone, you know, some music, and some people don't know how to change the ringtone. Whereas someone else, mashallah, he goes into the phone, he knows the whole thing. So you go to the, you know, the settings, and you go to the, you know, what have you, and he makes the changes. Which one is more virtuous? The one who knows. And this is something that is insignificant, man. This is the cell phone. Yeah, it's not going to take you to Jannah or otherwise, unless you use it in the obedience of Allah. Then what about the knowledge of the deen? What do we know about Islam? And if we do know something, are we conveying to the non-Muslims? Do we have enough knowledge to be able to make da'wah? You may know Islam, but can you explain it to someone in English? We're dealing with English now. You may know it in Urdu or other languages, that's none of my business. But English-wise, let's say you meet a Filipino who doesn't speak any other language but English, and you want to invite him to Islam, are you able to communicate with him? If you wanted to explain the word qada, which word do you use? Destiny, preordainment, decree, huh? You may say a word that in the Christian life of his, it has another meaning. And he may not understand the qadar that you're speaking about. Because he already has a word in Christianity. So then having knowledge of the language will help you deliver the message. This is an intro. For those who will be attending this class, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, ask Allah to facilitate this on a weekly basis. I highly recommend that you bring with you a notebook and a pen in order to take some notes. Because we always think that we will remember, but then as soon as we have dinner, we forget. The next day you say, what was the brother talking about in the message, man? You may remember maybe 5 words. When you take notes, even small notes, maybe 10 years later you go back up and say, oh, subhanAllah, I remember exactly what he was speaking about, just because of some headline that you take down. So that's one thing. So this knowledge would be ingrained in our minds. Look at this book. Small, huh? Tiny little book. You thought I was going to bring an encyclopedia. No. This is one of the most basic books written. Yet it is precise and to the point about the pillars of Islam and the pillars of Iman. Which very often we think that we know, but we really do not know. Because knowledge, if it does not translate into action, is not knowledge. Is not beneficial knowledge. And just the mere, for instance, does anyone here not believe in angels? Does everyone believe in angels? Raise your hand if you believe in angels. You believe in angels? Everyone believes in angels? Some of you don't believe in angels? Now you better leave the message, man. This is only for the Muslims. Everyone believes in angels. But do you believe in the angels that write down your deeds? Are we mindful of them every day of our life? We believe in them. We know that they are Kirama and Kadiri, noble angels. Write it down our deeds. We believe, otherwise we're not a Muslim. But during the day, this is the last thing on your mind. The last thing that you may think of. Maybe you don't even think about it once for a whole month. Maybe for a whole year. Until someone reminds you, as you fear Allah. Huh? The angels are writing down what you're saying, what you're doing. Say, oh, subhanAllah, angels are watching you. So we know, we believe, we have knowledge that there are angels, but if it does not translate into action, it may be a problem on the day of judgment. So I know you know the pillars of Islam. Everyone will tell me that the shahadatan and that establishing the salah, day in the zakah, fasting Ramadan, do al-hajj. We know. Pillars of Iman, believe in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers, the day of judgment, and preordained. We believe. But do we really have this implemented in our life? I don't want to know the answer, but we will try to fix the problem. Inshallah. Through these classes, if we do have this problem, By the time we're done, bi-idhnillah, it will be fixed. If you wish to have it fixed, and if you strive to have it fixed, because at the end of the day, success is with Allah. I cannot benefit you, you cannot benefit yourself, I cannot benefit myself, unless Allah gives you success. Now, does Allah give success to the people who make effort, or the people who do not make effort? The people who make effort. Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who strive in our cause, every kind of striving, we shall guide them. A promise from Allah. Allah does not betray, does not go back on His promise. We will guide them to the path. That's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we strive. You take some notes, you try to be consistent with the durus. You try to do this for the sake of Allah. Remind myself and you about sincerity. We don't want to do this just to have a show, say, Wallah, we have classes, blah, 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 I've memorized ABC. This is not beneficial. We should do this with the intent to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the speaker and for those who are listening, learn so you will be able to better worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the intro. The book is called Sharhu Usuli Iman. The explanation of the fundamentals of faith. And the book was authored by Shaykh Salih bin Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. Maybe some of you know the Shaykh, maybe some of you do not know the Shaykh. There's a brother whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with knowledge, and his knowledge has spread all over the world. And he has produced a lot of beneficial books and material for the Muslim Ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower him with His mercy and to raise his degree in the hereafter and to make us among those who follow his path. He says in the introduction of his book, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ عِلْمَ التَّوْحِيدِ أَشْرَفُ الْعُلُومِ. After he began with the introduction that I began with, which is all praise due to Allah, we praise Him, the one that you heard in the beginning. He said, as to what follows or to proceed, verily the most virtuous of knowledge is that of Tawheed. Tawheed is Islamic monotheism. All religions claim that they are monotheistic. But the only true religion which teaches Tawheed is Islam. They all use the big statement, we believe in one God. But when you go into them, you'll find that there are many more gods. Three gods, maybe five gods, maybe thousands of gods, whatever they think is a god. But then when you ask them, they say, I also believe in one God, just like you. He would tell you, I believe in one God. So this is all false claims. The only true religion of Tawheed is that of Islam. And this is the most virtuous of knowledge. وَأَجَلُّهَا قَدْرًا. And it is the most respectful and honored. وَأَوْجَبُهَا مَطْلَبًا. And it is the one that is most necessary. The most necessary in our life. Because you will never really enter Jannah until you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names and His attributes. And you dedicate your worship to Him alone. Then and only then you will be permitted to paradise. لِأَنَّهُ الْعِلْمُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَحُقُوقِهِ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ. Because it is knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's names and attributes and the rights that He has upon His servants. So the knowledge of Allah. And the righteous predecessors who came before us used to say, whomever knows Allah more will fear Allah more. The more you know Allah, the more you will fear Allah. The less you know Allah, the less you will fear Allah. If you don't know that Allah is the all-seeing, the all-hearing, the all-knowing, the one who is severe in punishment, the one who knows everything in the heavens and the earth, nothing misses Him, the one who will be judging us on the day of judgment, you will be worried. You have some worry, some stress, as the companions used to be, you know. They were given glad tidings of Jannah, but they were walking around crying. Crying. Ya Akhi, why are you crying? The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told you, you're going to Jannah. But they walked around crying because they knew Allah. So they were worried. Uthman used to say, if I put one foot in Jannah, I will not feel secure until my second foot is inside. I don't know what will happen. Umar used to say, I wish I was a hair on the chest of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr used to say, I wish I was a tree that the people just pulled off from the ground. They did not want to worry about this. They were afraid of accountability because they had knowledge of Allah. Now when you do this, Allah will have mercy on you. Don't get it wrong. You're not fearing Allah until you go to Jahannam. You continue to fear Allah until you go to Jannah. Those are the individuals whom Allah bestows His mercy upon. Those are the individuals whom Allah raises their decrees in this life and in the hereafter. Those very individuals that used to fear Allah will be the one who will be honored because of their fear. It is not the other way around. Because Allah does not oppress us. Allah does not oppress. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And the Lord does not oppress anyone. No one is oppressed. We are the ones who earn salvation through belief in good deeds, or we earn punishment through negligence and disregard of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِأَنَّهُ مُفْتَاحُ الطَّرِيقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَسَاسُهُ شَرَائِعِ. And because the knowledge of Tawheed is the key that will lead us to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the secret for the sacred law, the sharia, the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلِذَا أَجْمَعَتِ الرُّسُلُ عَلَى الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَيْهِ. قال الله تعالى وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. He said to Shaykh Ahmad, this is why all of the messengers agreed regarding this one knowledge, this branch of knowledge. Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 25, for those who want to take notes, and we have not sent a messenger before you except that we had inspired to him and revealed to him that there is none worthy of worship but me, but I, so worship me. When Nuh came, what did he tell his people? Who memorized Surah Nuh at the beginning? إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ أَنْ أَنْذِرْ قَوْمَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. إيش؟ أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون. Allah introduced this chapter with that. Nuh, the first messenger. Verily we have sent Nuh to his people that you shall warn them before a severe punishment befalls upon them. So Nuh turned around to his people and said, oh my people, verily I am to you a clear warner that you should do what? That you should worship Allah alone. Have taqwa of him and obey him. And Abraham came with the same message. And David and Solomon and Moses and Jesus, peace be upon all of them, came with the same exact message. This is the first thing that they were revealed, that they received this revelation, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will deal with that extensively, inshallah, as we move on in the book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh said, وَشَهِدَ لِنَفْسِهِ تَعَالَى بِوَحْدَانِيَّةِ وَشَهِدَ بِهَا لَهُ مَلَائِكَتُهُ وَأَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ. قال الله تعالى شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness to His oneness in the Quran, and He made the angels bear witness to the same thing and those who were given knowledge. Allah says in Surah Al-Imran, verse 18, Allah bears witness. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters in Islam. We need to understand these verses. Allah is speaking to us in this revelation. Allah bears witness to Himself. Allah bears witness that there is none worthy of worship but He. So do the angels and those who are given knowledge. Look at this sequence. The most important is Allah. Then next worthy, angels. What are the characteristics of the angels? لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They do not disobey Allah regarding any command they receive from Him, and they do everything that they are commanded. So these are the creation of Allah that never disobey Allah. They bear witness to the oneness. And then the third, أولو العلم, those who were given knowledge. The scholars say this is the most honoring verse for the scholars, for the ulama, for the students of knowledge. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included them in the shahada, this bearing testimony, the greatest testimony, the reason why the heavens and the earth were created, the reason why we are alive, the reason why you are breathing is because of that. Nothing else. Nothing else. So the angels, and then followed with the people of knowledge. ولما كان هذا شأن التوحيد كان لازما على كل مسلم أن يعتني به تعلما واطمئنان وتسليم يسعد بثمراته ونتائجه. They said that when this is, when we understand that this is the virtue, this is the importance of Tawheed, then it is incumbent and it is upon every Muslim, it's a must upon every Muslim that he should take care of that, learning it, learning Tawheed, وتعليمًا, teaching it to your family members, to those who are related to you, to those who you know may be committing shirk by worshipping other than Allah, without going into the details right now. It becomes upon you to learn and educate. You do not need them committing shirk, particularly your kin, your kin, and then those who are related to you, your neighbors and those who are around you, what have you. So learning, teaching, pondering, think, reflecting, and having certainty, firm belief in that. So you can establish your religion or your way of life on a strong foundation, on the strongest of foundations, and tranquility. So you will be the one who will benefit from the fruits and the results of your knowledge of Tawheed. This is the intro of the Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless on him. Then he begins the definition of Ad-Din al-Islami, the religion of Islam. Now we have a problem with the word religion. The reason why, because in the West, in the Western world, when they speak of the word religion, they mean the things that deal with belief only. Social problems, none of their business. Economics, none of their business. The society, none of their business. Everything that is related to the material world, they say this is not part of religion. Religion is strictly the relationship between the creation and the creator. So they divide knowledge into secular knowledge and theological knowledge. Now, if we were to apply this definition to Islam, we will find that it is not fit. Doesn't Islam tell you how to do business? It does. You have evidence of doing business. Doesn't Islam teach you how to deal with the people in your society, in your community? It does. You will find that Islam is a total way of life. Every single thing that you need to do, you have something in Islam that teaches you, whether it is related to the creator or the creation. So the word religion doesn't really do the job. But we will use it, or we will use the word deen, which is more befitting, which is the thing that we have a total way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life. هو الدين الذي بعث الله به محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ختم الله به الأديان وأكمله لعباده. The deen of Islam is the actual deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم with. That's what he received. And he sealed all the religions. He concluded all the religions. There's nothing that's going to come after. And he perfected this religion for his faith, for the worshippers. وَأَتَمَّ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ النِّعْمَةِ. And Allah completed his favor upon his creation with the deen of Islam. Alhamdulillah that Allah made us Muslims. وَرَضِيَهُ لَهُمْ دِينًا. Allah is pleased with Islam as a way of life for those chosen. Alhamdulillah, us, by the grace of Allah, we are among those, bi-idhnillah, chosen among all of these creations who do not worship Allah, who do not care about Islam. Not only that, rather they attack Islam and they are going against Islam, trying to destroy Islam and the Muslims. It's never going to happen. They will never be able to do it. Worry not. It's never going to happen. Allah has promised that this deen will prevail and the truth will continue. But when, my brothers and sisters in Islam, when we understand Islam and our children understand Islam and they are raised upon understanding Islam, then the whole new generation will be one that is practicing. Then the Muslims will gain back the power and the strength and no one will be able to stand in front of them. But what we are suffering from today, from what you see in Palestine and otherwise, is because of us leaving alone the teachings of Islam. We don't have knowledge and we don't care about the knowledge. You know, you get someone who doesn't speak English and they tell him, listen, you want to become a doctor, you must learn English. He will take time of his life, he will leave alone many things
and go join an institute and pay thousands of riyal in order to learn English so he can gain some material wealth. Something that will only last for them until he dies. But you tell someone, you have to take some time to come to a lecture, to a dars. Busy, very busy. Life hectic. Subhanallah al-Azim. Learning Arabic language, as much as you can. Learn something so you can understand. Busy. You learn English so you can become more rich. But you will not learn a language to understand Islam. You will not bother to read the Quran or the interpretation of the meaning in the Quran in the mother tongue that you speak. If you speak Urdu or Hindi or whatever, you should not only read the Quran in Arabic, read the one that has been translated, the meaning, into your language so you will know what Allah is asking of you. But you will find a person has no time. Time is expensive, valuable. No time for the deen. Then we turn around and say, look at what's happening to the Muslims. Subhanallah. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. The way, the same way you treat, you'll be treated. جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا. An equal recompense. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is within themselves. So me and you, and our children, and our family, should be this new generation. This new generation of Muslims who do have time for Allah. Do have time for Allah, for learning Allah's deen, for propagating Allah's deen, so the honor and dignity will return to the Muslims. If we continue to follow the ways of our forefathers, then Islam will continue to be humiliated until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us away and bring other people who will not be like us, as Allah said in the Quran. If we don't do this, Allah will replace us with others. And look at all the new Muslims who become a Muslim, then a month later he's a da'iyah. Giving da'wah, Allah knows how many people become Muslims through him. Some of us live our whole life and we don't even tell once someone about Islam. We're not saying make people enter into Islam. Guidance is from Allah. But are we giving da'wah to the co-workers that we work with? Even in our character, only Allah knows. So the honor will come back, my brothers, when me and you learn. And this is an opportunity. So let's broaden our scope and understanding. And be patient. Be patient about learning. It's not going to happen while you're drinking a sip of water. It's going to take some effort. But bi-idhnillah, you will be starting something that will last until the day of judgment. And you will be the one who will reap the benefit when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be among those who procrastinate. Allah will not accept any religion except Islam. قال الله تعالى ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 40, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not the father of any man among you. Rather, he is the messenger of Allah and the seed of all prophets. He is the messenger of Allah and the seed of all prophets. The seed is when nothing comes after. When you seal something, you close it for good. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the final messenger sent by Allah until the day of judgment. No one will come as the new Rasul. Jesus will come back, peace be upon him. Al-Mahdi will come to implement Islam. But someone with the new law, no more. And we are among his followers, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. In Surah Al-Imran verse 19, Allah says, verily the religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. The true way of life in the sight of Allah is Islam. Nothing else. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever desires a way of life other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him. Never. And in the hereafter, he will be among those, he will be among the losers. He will be among the losers. وَقَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى جَمِيعِ النَّاسِ أَنْ يَدِينُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِهِ. فقال مخاطبا رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم قل يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. In Surah Al-A'raf verse 158, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, interpretation of the meaning, say, O Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the people, to mankind, all mankind, verily I am the messenger of Allah unto you. I am the messenger of Allah unto you. The one who owns the dominions of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no God worthy of worship but He. He gives life and He causes death. So believe in Allah and His messenger. The illiterate, the one who was not able to read or write, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but was the most knowledgeable person to ever walk on this earth, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he knew who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, the one who believes in Allah and His words. So follow him, perhaps you may be guided. And pause with this end of the verse. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. Follow him, so you may be guided. The scholars of tafsir, when they deal with these verses, they have foundations, principles. They say, when something is established, then the opposite is understood without the need to say it. When something has been established or confirmed, the opposite of that is understood without the need to say it. For example, if we say in the word example, only Muhammad came to the desert. Do I need to say that no one came except Muhammad? Do I need to mention the other ones? Ali didn't come, Ahmed didn't come, Rabi' didn't come? No. Because when I said only Muhammad came, I don't have to mention the others. Because of this confirmation, the opposite is understood. Meaning everyone else did not come. So when Allah says, so follow him, so you may be guided. Meaning if you do not follow him, you will not be guided. Guidance cannot be acquired unless you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't follow him, you will be misguided. Without the need to say that. Because of the confirmation, the opposite is understood. This is very beneficial in the knowledge of tafsir. So when you read the Quran, you may understand many verses that are relevant to this. You will know that once something is confirmed, the opposite is understood. When you know that Allah has the most beautiful names, meaning nothing that is deficient can be attributed to Allah. Nothing that is deficient can be attributed to Allah, because Allah confirmed to Himself as-sifat al-ula wal-asma' al-husna, the high attributes and the beautiful names. وفي صحيح مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال والذي نفس محمد بيده لا يسمع بي أحد من هذه الأمة يهودي ولا نصراني ثم يموت ولا يؤمن بالذي أرسلت به إلا كان من أصحاب النار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us a hadith that is a foundation for those who make da'wah. If you invite others to Islam, this is among the narrations that you need to be acquainted with. He said, by the one whose the soul of Muhammad is in his hand, swearing by Allah. None of the people of this nation, speaking about the nation of da'wah, the ummah of da'wah, those who he was sent to, alayhi sallam. He said, whether a Jew or a Christian, none of the people who I was sent to, hears about me, whether a Jew or a Christian, and then he dies without believing in that which I was sent with, except that he will be among the companions of the fire. Anyone who receives the message of Islam and does not accept it after it has been clarified, his abode will be Jahannam وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا أَبَدِ الْآبِدِينَ. His abode will be the hellfire. What a terrible end. Eternally, they will never leave. Those who don't believe in the Prophethood and the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from those who have received the message of Islam. So this is the fundamental narration that you must give da'wah. Because if you don't tell these people about Islam, they may be punished. Unless someone else does the job of da'wah. So it becomes upon me and you to get involved in this virtuous and this honorable duty. The duty of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions and all the Prophets and messengers. Their main job description was da'wah. They were not about making money and business. They were du'at, calling to Allah. Calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most honorable job you may ever have. Wal iman bihi. Okay, what does iman and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam entail? Because anyone here who's in this masjid, for you to become a Muslim, you must say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. You bear witness that none is worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah. Now, what does it mean when you say that I believe that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah? The Shaykh said, تصديق ما جاء به مع القبول والإدعاء لا مجرد التصديق. It is not sufficient to only believe or know. This must be accompanied with submission and surrendering. This must be accompanied with submission and surrendering. ولهذا لم يكن أبو طالب مؤمنا بالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مع تصديقه لما جاء به وشهادته بأنه من خير الأديان. This is why the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abu Talib, he was not considered among the Muslims. He was not a believer in the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, although he used to say in his poetry, "And your religion is the best religion." He used to say to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, "Your religion is the best religion." But what prevented him from accepting Islam? He was afraid of Quraysh. Huh? When he was dying, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to give him the last da'wah, the final invitation, before he passed away, he said, "Ya Abd, my uncle, Aslim, enter into Islam." He told him, "I'm afraid that they will say that I died upon a religion other than that of Abdul Muttalib." Yani, he decided to follow his forefathers, although he knew that the Prophet Muhammad was the messenger of Allah in truth. So only believing is not going to help unless you have submission. Otherwise you become like another individual. Who knows who it is? There's another creation of Allah who believes, but he is the worst of creation, because his belief did not translate into surrendering and submission. Who is he? Anyone? Shaitan. Iblis. Doesn't Iblis believe in Allah? Huh? He was up there, right? He was worshipping Allah among the angels. Allah spoke to him. Doesn't he believe in the angels? He sure does. He was right there with them, worshipping Allah. Doesn't he believe in the books? Indeed he does. He promised that he would try to distort and make the people deviate. Doesn't he believe in the messengers? Yes. He was working hard to misguide the people from following them. He sure believes in the day of judgment, because Allah promised him he's going to go to the hellfire. And he believes in decree, because he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him an opportunity to come to this earth and misguide us. He understands everything is by the will and decree of Allah. So if we were to take this understanding, some misguided person say, Satan is a believer. We say, "A'udhu billah." Iblis is the worst kafir in the world. Why? Because that belief that he had, when he was asked to prostrate to Adam, what did he say? قَالَ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. You created me from fire, and you made him out of clay. Basically accusing Allah of making the wrong decision, giving him the wrong command. You know, your father, just hypothetically speaking, comes and tells you, you know, join the school. So you don't know about the school. I don't want to become this, I want to become that. What does that mean? You tell your father, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying. You give me wrong advice. Isn't that disrespectful? Indeed, even if you feel this way, there's means of communicating with adab, with respect. So Satan became a kafir, not because he disobeyed Allah, because Adam also disobeyed Allah. Adam ate from the tree, but he repented to Allah. He did not tell Allah, "Why did you tell me not to eat from the tree?" Huh? He wasn't arrogant. Satan is istakbar. He became arrogant. As if he's telling Allah, "You don't know what you're asking." How do you ask someone made out of fire to prostrate to someone made out of clay? Huh? Wrong move. So what happened to him? He was cast and kicked out, and he will eternally burn in the hellfire, and those who follow him on his footsteps. So what is the point, my brothers and sisters, is that belief on its own is not going to help unless you have submission and surrendering. What did the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam command you to do? You must do it in this life. The more you do that, the more your iman is correct. The less you do that, the less your iman is correct. You may believe somewhat. You may surrender 10%, then your iman is 10%. You may surrender 20%, your iman is 20%, and so forth.
the more you accept any commandment from him, whether it is a sunnah, voluntary, or an obligation, then the more your iman is correct. The more you take it easy and you play around and you follow your desires and you disregard him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more your iman is deficient, the more you are resembling Satan. So we need to be careful of this fact. When you truly believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will follow his footsteps. And I believe, in order not to make this a lengthy lesson, we will conclude inshaAllah at this point, to keep you interested inshaAllah. I'm looking forward for more next Tuesday, bismillah azza wa jal, where we'll be dealing with the what does Islam command us to do and what does Islam forbid us from doing in somewhat of detail. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept these deeds of ours, and to make it sincere for his sake, and to benefit us from what we heard, and to make us among those who need to listen to the reminder and follow the best of it. Furthermore, I encourage you and remind you not to let the shaitan take hold of you. Do not let him keep you away from learning. Not because I'm the one learning, I'm teaching, even if it's the Shaykh Yasir. Anytime there's an opportunity for knowledge, come. These are the blessed gatherings. This is the investment for the hereafter. This is Jannah, and this is what you are working for. This is life, the whole life. Your whole life is because of this. So don't be lazy. Don't be, this nonchalant, as they say. Don't be careless, negligent. Learn and call others, so you can gain their reward. Invite others to come with you and take this particular class seriously. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seek from you sincerity and seek knowledge, and he will facilitate for you a path that will lead you to Jannah. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan.